Welcome to the big broadcast. Oh, the really big broadcast. This is really cool because joining us on the program now is a good friend, a great captain, a master of of the vessels of Oceania and Region Seven Seas Cruise Line, and also coming to us from Zagreb, Croatia. Once again, proving how global this program has become. On Monday, we talked to Victor in Serbia. On Tuesday, we talked to Chris in England, in Manchester. And today, we're proud to welcome to the program Captain Lukša Kristović. How are you, Captain? Good to see you.
Hello, how are you? Good morning there. Yeah, it's
good morning.
Already.
Great to see you. Please meet our one of our co-hosts, John Ferrantino. He's a legendary comedy magician. John and I go back way back to the Norway days, 28, 30 years ago. He's been in the industry as an entertainer for many, many, many years.
And we all got together when the Wuhan arrived.
When the Wuhan
arrived, we all got together one at a time and decided we would do something to stay busy. And it worked out because we've been really connecting cruisers and cruise entertainers and general managers and everybody coming on and talking about really who they are, what they do, and what they're doing now. And what they were doing in March when I was sent home on March 18th, and Dottie went home about a week or so later. Mm-hmm. Most of our captains had to stay on for a while. Were you on a ship at the time, Captain, when it all came about?
I was lucky one. I actually finished the last cruise with Seven Seas Navigator on March 13 in Oakland. So I left exactly when the cruising was stopped, and my reliever started the cruise, but it was stopped after a couple of days.
Ah, yeah, you really did get lucky. Wow, because it was St. Patrick's Day for me the next day. It was funny because I was talking to the GM, Mark, earlier in the week, and he said, as far as we know, we're sailing again on Saturday, but we're going to sail with 14 days extra stores in the event that we end up in some kind of a quarantine situation. And then 48 hours later, they pulled the plug. And for me, I was in Florida. We were in Miami, so I was able to get a rental car and drive home. And about a week later, I was able to come and get Dottie. So that worked out. But many people, you know. So have you been home since then? You haven't had to go back?
No, and I was normally going home for the vacation. But for the technical department, it's different because they need somebody to guard the ship. Right. So I stayed home like 3 months instead of 2.5. And then I joined again in Genoa, where the ship was. We did the dry dock without guests on board. We did lots of maintenance on board, lots of things that usually guests, they don't like to hear when they are on the vacation on our ship. So we used this time only with crew to finish the dry dock, to complete lots of technical things. So we've been quite busy, even without guests on board. And we then moved to Livorno for like 1 month and something. And now the ship is in Naples, okay, waiting for the first green light to start with really minimum crew, like 88 crew on board, just to maintain the things and keep it always in standby in case of bad weather. Then we have to leave the port.
And right now it sounds like the hallway on the ship when I used to be on the ship with you.
How is Leo and Regine?
I believe you can hear the Leo in the background.
Yeah, we can.
He's getting so big.
Now he's playing Wii already, so he's already moving with the joysticks around and bowling and golf, and he's really happy about this thing. But
what,
for him,
six years? 6 years old now?
No, four.
Four.
I remember, well, we were in dry dock with Regatta in Vancouver.
Yep,
and that gangway on that ship, on that dry dock, was the scariest thing. John, you can't believe the pitch. It was straight down pool deck, straight down. And it scared me to death to go down that thing. And I remember, I think you were forbidden from bringing Leo down those stairs, if I'm not mistaken.
No, my wife didn't want to go down the stairs. She stayed all 3 days inside of the ship without going. She says, if I flip, if he falls or something, we didn't want to leave the ship. And the elevator was not working. And
those are usually the ones I got to drag my cases up when I join the ship.
Oh, yeah. This was, I never saw anything like it. And those workers, those walkers climbed up and down it like it was nothing. You know, they didn't even pay attention to it. I'm not real good with heights. So, because we had our old friend Meinhardt, Captain Hansen, was on with us last month. He said to say hello, by the way. And he told me over at MSC that they were putting staff captains out with the ships as opposed to having the masters. I guess you can do that if you're not sailing anywhere. You just have it parked.
Everything depends. We actually left the captain and staff captains on board. We took out safety officers and our mental officers because usually we don't need them when there's no guest, when there's no big crew changes.
Yeah.
So everything depends how the company likes to organize the things. But most of our ships are going to dry dock, so then it's quite important to have staff captain on board.
I got some captain questions.
There you go, John.
How long have you been a captain?
Already 4.5 years.
Wow. So before you were a captain, obviously you were a man of the sea. I'm a sailor. That's why I'm asking you. Before, we don't have to talk about cruise ships. What's like the worst storm you've ever been in?
Worst storm was with a passenger ship who was sailing the entire year in the Mediterranean. It was a Gulf of Lyon. I don't know if you know the area between the France and Spain.
Yes.
Right.
You need to go through the Gulf of Lyon. You need to cross a huge bay that is exposed to the northwesterly wind, so-called Mistral. And the waves and the wind was so bad that the wave managed to open the hatch of one buoy that we use in case the ship is sinking. That was on deck 11.
So I had a
call from the Maritime Rescue Coordinator Center in Montreal, who was calling me to ask if the ship is sinking or not.
Wow.
Thanks.
And Captain Luca Manzi was the captain of the ship. Yeah. I was just at that time second officer in charge for the watch from midnight to 4. And it was like a couple of days before the new year. So we had a white Christmas, but because of the rough sea, not because of the nice snow.
Wow.
Captain Luca Manzi, there was a captain.
We were on the Norway once. I tell a story and there was a hurricane coming, a big hurricane leaving Miami, and Captain Kjellhagen said, after a careful evaluation, we are going to sail into the hurricane. We were like, what?
Yeah.
And, you know, and he was right. I mean, he worked his way into the eye. We circled and we went into the eye. We traveled in the eye for about, I would say, 6 or 8 hours with the hurricane. And then the hurricane veered off and we came out the other side into beautiful weather for the rest of the cruise. But boy, there was like 18 hours of.
I remember that.
Like waves going by the international deck, you know, and the front of the Norway, I don't know if you're familiar with it, had two World War II landing craft that they made to bring onto the private island. So they were 120 feet long and they were completely underwater when they would come down a wave. I mean, it was crazy.
Well, you knew it was a bad storm whenever the Norway moved. The Norway never moved.
A 38-foot draft. But my friend of mine was the first officer, and the captain called him up to the bridge. He's like, all right, you need to steer the storm. I will stand here with you. And he was like, oh, my God, you're kidding. He said this was going through his mind. He was going, oh, my God, I can't see the horizon. Oh, we're going down. Come up. It was the most horrifying experience in his life. And then, the captain said, well, you don't get that experience in a simulator.
No, you don't. That's for sure. So
but he used to love that. Kjellhagen used to love that. He used to go, that's what we get paid for. Most of the time, the ship could be on a track, you know.
But for Norwegians, I don't know if it's the same for Croatians, but Norwegian officers, rough seas is like great sex. They think it's whatever. I'm like, can we go someplace a little flatter? That would be better. So, did you have an? I have just a question about, again, when we first started in this business, John and I. John's 30 plus, Dottie's 30 plus. I'm 25. The captains were, and I've asked Leo about this. The captains were always British, Italian, Greek, Norwegian. Hardly ever did you even hear Croatian, the country mentioned. And now more and more our maritime officers, especially on Ocean, are coming out of Croatia. And I asked Leo about this. There is a facility in I guess I'll grab a training facility and also a simulator.
But there is a big tradition in Croatia in the maritime business. But we didn't manage to get a chance to get on the passenger ship until they changed some parts of collective agreement for the Norwegian captains and, let's say, Italians and British. And once they start giving them less money, most of them left. And this is basically what opened the market for the Croatian captains. And once we got in, then, of course, if you prove yourself, then you stay there.
Yeah.
So what basically happened. We've been all the time there, but while the Norwegians and other British were holding the market, there was no chance to get in. But now there is so many cruise ships on the market that everybody's opening for the business, and wherever they have a good schools and good, I would say, management of maritime business, they are more than welcome on the fleet all around the world.
Yeah. You know, as well, when I started in the industry, it was Norwegian Cruise Line. So right. 90% yeah. of the officers were Norwegian. When you went to SIPMAR, it was an Italian line. They were all Italian officers. So that has come just a full circle. They've, you know, we see some Norwegians, but not near as many, even on Norwegian Cruise Line. They don't have as many Norwegians now. Now they're from everywhere. I remember when we had a staff captain from Finland. We're like, how'd you get here? This was, you know, probably 20 years ago.
But now on Oceania, the officers are many different countries, all represented.
We were talking yesterday, Tom was saying about going around the Cape Horn. And every time they go through the straits, passengers are like upset. And I was just saying, people just don't really understand. Most, not us, I mean, we've all been at it, but most people just don't even respect how powerful the ocean is. Mm-hmm. I don't think they have any concept, you know, of how, I mean, I was telling them, I have like a small catamaran, like a Hobie Cat, and I got caught in a 40-mile-an-hour squall once, and it was horrifying. You know, just, but when I got to shore, it was like, I just felt like that 20 minutes of being scared out of my mind. I knew what to do. I got the boat back to where it was supposed to go. I didn't die. I didn't flip. And it's just like, well, but then now when I go out, it's like, I go, well, if it looks like it's getting bad, you know, I go, well, I know what I can do up to a certain point, you know?
Well, I'm sure that, you know, the same.
That's what I'm talking about. So captains have all this experience, you know, and people don't realize. I don't think most people realize how powerful the ocean can be.
So I have to ask you this because they won't ever let me go to Region Seven Seas because there's free liquor. How was the Region Seven Seas Voyager? A nice vessel, nice group of guests. Was it fun?
The Seven Seas Voyager is the oldest ship in the fleet, NCL fleet.
Okay.
And also it's the smallest one in the NCL fleet, but it's the toughest one for the maneuvering and for the steering.
Because
that's a Russian ship. It was built to be a satellite tracker, they say spying ship. And somehow they sold the project to the Italians who brought it to Italy in Genoa, and they turned it into the passenger ship. And once they turned it into the passenger ship, there was not enough power to run all the AC for all the stations that they installed. So somebody said, okay, if you don't have enough power, take out one bow thruster and give this power to the AC controller.
Yeah.
But the ship has only one bow thruster that is very weak. It has old traditional conventional propulsion, so it shakes a lot. That's the reason why the passengers like to call it navigator. But some guests, they just love it.
Yeah.
Because it's small, it's easy to go around, it has its specific charm. And you are right, the booze is free, so the social life is, they said, better than on Oceania ships because of that.
Then I've been on that. I didn't realize that was the point. We were on that ship, Dottie, and I did work it one time, and we were there for New Year's, and we had the suite all the way in the back, and it does have a tendency to bounce a little bit, but we hint about going over there every now and then, but our home is at Oceania. Is your next ship back with Region? Is that your permanent move now?
No, I will be there for a while.
Yeah, okay. And
there is a joke for the Navibreto, what the people likes to come there, especially retired people. They said they just need to lay down in the bed naked, tell to the wife to come in, and she will do the rest.
Okay. Oh, my. All right.
Needed.
Okay. Well, there you go. That works out pretty
Maybe
good.
Maybe there's a reason why some people still likes to come there quite
All often. Right.
You know, you
when we had Victor on Monday, he was from Serbia, we asked him about this, and also a friend, Chris Ritchie in Manchester. How has Croatia handled the pandemic? How do you have a lockdown still, restrictions, or is it a little more open?
In the very beginning, it was really good. It was like everything shut and pretty much strict, and our numbers were never going more than 100 per day infected. But then the summer season came, and the state opened the borders. And now when it's coming the fall and winter, now we are breaking all the records compared with situation before. Mm. It's, everything is open, everything is working with restriction in place. But entire Europe is now not looking good, including Croatia. But I don't feel it so much, but it's affecting the social life. The clubs are closed. The bars and pubs, they have limited working hours, but it's not so bad for the people who don't go around and have fun, and you are just a family man and do your things on open space. But definitely now it's getting worse and worse.
Yeah, we're pretty much the Wild Wild West here. We're pretty wide open. I keep an eye on certain things. We haven't been doing much. You know, we've been out to dinner a couple of times, and, you know, after all these years of going out to dinner all the time, on the ship, we don't necessarily miss it because, you know, that part of what we do is socialize, as it is for you. Mm-hmm. So it hasn't affected us all that much. I don't miss it much at all. But
it's nice to be home cooking.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah.
It's nice to be home.
Yeah. But you know, the entertainment department is back to work. Not just our cruise line. I got an email from my agent, other cruise lines. The entertainment department is back in the office. People are starting to get things ready, and I think for the CDC, my guess is at the end of the month they're going to say, okay, you want to try, go ahead. You've got all the protocols in place, you have the plan in place, tell us what you want to do. And you know, I think that we might, you know, the industry across the board will start gearing up to be going at least by the end of the year. We'll, you know, and as you know, in Europe, the MSC is operating a couple, and I think TUI has one out.
TUI.
And
the IATA, IATA's going out as well.
I just don't know what happens in Asia. What's Singapore is sailing. They have a ship that's
Genting.
Going out. But it's just going 2 days and nowhere. So, you know, I remember.
You could do that.
Huh?
I remember 7 days nowhere.
We had a Norwegian captain, Augie Hodevik, and he hated the Caribbean. He said it was the most boring thing in the world. He just hated it. All he really wanted to do was Antarctica and things like that. And now think about it, you know, 5-day cruises to nowhere. But I think people will be grateful to just get on a ship. And, you know, we've had all the chefs on from the Culinary Arts Department have been on the show talking about food. And we're kind of ready to go back and eat some of it. Really, really are. So now when you go back, will you bring your wife and Leo? No, they're going to stay behind.
No. At the moment, no visitors are allowed. Even the people, technicians that are coming, they need to come with a PCR test, and they need to prove that they are, I would say, free of COVID. Because on board, we are pretty much enclosed community. Mm-hmm. On the ship, on the navigator that I've been since the COVID and or this virus started, we never had any crew members infected.
Never.
And so we actually, for us, is the biggest problem, people when they go ashore and come on board. Mm-hmm. So the technicians and whoever needs to come, they need to come with all the tests and to prove they need to wear the masks. And this company is now working to implement lots of things. As you know, the project together with Royal Caribbean. Mm-hmm. And this is basically now going on. All the filters, all the new systems that will be mostly everything just without any touching, everything will be less and less physical contact for lots of services on board, just to prevent possible spreading of the virus is with enhanced program of sanitation and cleaning through the ship up and down. So I believe hopefully all this will be much, much more strict than anywhere shoreside that you can imagine. Like usually it is on the ship, even yes, during the regular operations. Mm-hmm. But the biggest problem is when the people go out. I know that MSC started and you could not go individually out on tour on your own. You could go only on the official tours organized by the MSC that are very well controlled, and the buses and the personnel, everything that they are using for the service is sanitized, prepared, and checked so that it's COVID-free. Otherwise, you are jeopardizing somebody to get infected shoreside and bringing it on board.
I've been, I've been, I don't know if the words is screaming, but whining about, you know, the hotel industry, airline industry. We live in Orlando, the resort industry, the amusement parks, they're all open. And yet the ships aren't sailing, and the ships can create just what you described, a closed environment. And they really can, especially if they do 7 days of the private islands. There's two of them, and that's it. That's all you're going to get. But the people who are like, oh, I just want to get up, be fine. And you know, going on board, you've been tested, and you don't have it. And everybody on board's been tested, they don't have it. And if everybody does what they say, it should work out. We hope. We hope so.
Yeah, MSC, they started the cruise in Genoa, and they had, before joining the ship, you had to be tested. And then after the test is done, then you are able to join the ship. And they did the first cruise exactly when we've been with Seven Seas Navigator still finishing the dry dock. They started from there, and also Scarlet Lady was arriving there, so she was there also.
Yeah,
virgin. Staying for some time, waiting probably as well for all the changes to implement. And also start, I don't know their plans, but things are moving, and definitely it will be much, much more advanced and strict than anything that you could have a shoreside, and you will need to follow the rules. I know that MSC disembarked a couple of guests that they didn't want to comply with the rules and procedures. I believe when they went ashore, they went something privately on their own, and they disembarked them because they cannot allow a couple of people to come there and to make a mess. I mean, in the very beginning, for sure, it will be strict. Like you said, everybody get tested, you go on board. If you take them on some private island when there is no COVID present and there is no chance that anyone gets infected, then people can still enjoy and have a good time on the cruise.
I have to say, though, I'd toot our horn a little bit. At Oceania and at Regent, we had absolutely zero cases of COVID whenever the whole situation started, when the pandemic started. So a tribute to what our crew do. I mean, we know what we do when we're in a norovirus situation, and it just, we're enhancing that situation once we got word about the pandemic and absolutely zero cases. I know on the Serena, the guests are like, can we stay here? We don't want to go home because we're in our nice little clean bubble and we don't want to take a chance going home. But obviously everyone had to leave at the end of the cruise.
Well, it's reassuring to hear about all the changes being implemented and filtration systems and all the protocols. And if people do what they're told, and you know, it's not unlike, it's more dangerous than norovirus and certainly more contagious, but if they just do what needs to be done, we should be fine. It would be great to get everybody back.
I may have a few more announcements to make.
Oh, yeah. No. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Well, that we know that already came. That's gonna be already. We're talking about the boat drill, John. You know, with the boat drill, they give you the safety, but then there's a list of announcements after that. That's pretty long. And now it's gonna be.
You'll have a COVID manual for sure on the bridge.
I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm sure it's being written as we speak.
We have a virtual boat drill.
I have a feeling that's probably what they'll go to.
Well, I'm not knocking Royal Caribbean, but they sometimes get too technical. What's the word? Too much technology. They're trying to do that. They're trying to, you know, at the end of the day, I believe the guest needs to know where it's supposed to be, and you have to tell them. If not, they're just not going to, you know, they're not going to pay attention. I apologize.
We'll probably still do the announcement, but just not have everyone muster.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I'm thinking.
A little more involved than that. Richard Fain's already said boat drill's a pain in the ass. He doesn't think it's... He said that publicly, so there you go. We don't feel that way at Oceania, for sure.
No, we don't.
Correct. So we're out of time. We can't thank you enough for joining us today. We're really curious to see how you're doing, how the family's doing, how things are going in Croatia. I was surprised. I just assume everybody was home, but that makes sense. Somebody's got to babysit those technicians, especially in Genoa. somebody's got to keep an eye on the equipment. Somebody's
got to. And you're watching the navigation equipment.
Somebody's got to keep an eye on the equipment. So we're watching to stay safe, and we're not going to see you because you're over there on that other line.
That's disappointing. Yeah,
but you never know. You know, maybe things will change because, especially with these crazy times, I know that some people left, some staff captains resign, and they find some other things. You know. So you never know. It can happen that they call you and I go back on Oceania. I really love there. I really had a good time, especially with you and Dodi. We did so many pictures during the carvings in
Alaska.
We had a great season with the captain in Alaska.
And two seasons in a row.
It was a two and very challenging because everybody was on them to get it. How close to the glacier can you get? How close can the glacier? It was a real who's got the biggest kind of contest, and he got close. Boy, did you ever get close.
Continue Meinhard tradition, otherwise you will bust my English, my French. Yeah. You will bust my balls till end of my life.
Yeah. Well, I was supposed to deliver a message about that. You know, ask him who showed him how to get close. Ask him this and ask him that. I'm not going down that road. But he did make sure he wanted to say hi to you. So.
Didn't he tell us he got so close once the ice part of the glacier fell on the back of the boat?
Yeah, well, you watched him. Oh, my
That's
God.
Close.
And, you know, we're late and Elliot's waiting, but Meinhard was on an MSC ship and he wanted to get off. I don't know if you heard the story. He struck a deal with MSC. He split the cost of a private jet. And he flew a 12-seater private
jet
to somewhere, not home, but somewhere in the States. Yeah. And because the rules were such that he got off the ship, they escorted him to the plane. He got on the plane and it took him in a... Only Meinhard would do that.
I'm not surprised. Yeah, that's something that fits him.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. Well, all the best to you, Captain. We appreciate you taking the time, and I'm glad you're safe. And hi to Leo for you. We should have put him on camera.
Yes, yeah. A big hello to Leo.
He's there now. He's actually, you see, they're dancing.
Hi, Leo.
Oh, my God. Look at him.
Hi, Regine.
Well, I'm glad you did that because we have so many Karen Pollock and so many of our guests who watch this, and they'll be thrilled to see how well he's doing, how well you're doing.
So he was more popular than me while he was on board with me.
He was more popular than all of us when he was on board. So you take care. Nice, thank you very much.
Nice meeting you.
Pleasure to see you both. Dottie, Drake, Tom, take care. Mr.
Thank
John,
you,
nice
Captain.
Meeting you.
Nice
Have a
meeting
good
you.
Time, guys. And hopefully we see each other on the Blue Valley soon, then later.
I appreciate it.
Keep our fingers crossed.
Thanks, Captain.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you for the invitation.